97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Friday, and glad you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark, that's Kim, that is Ethan sitting over there, and we had some people, you know, sometimes you do things, you're not even aware that you're doing them. I just got to tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you. And we've had a couple people comment on the Facebook feed or the YouTube feed here, which you're welcome to do. We always read your comments, that they could hear somebody clicking in the background, and they assumed that it was like a keyboard or somebody typing.
I think it sometimes
is during interviews,
like a mouse, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
But that's not what it was today.
No, apparently not. There are never pens in our studio. Like people abscond with them. I'm guilty of it myself sometimes. But there is a pen over here now that I'm showing you on the Facebook feed here, on the social media feed, that has multiple colors. Like there's red, there's blue, there's green, there's black, and you can click the thing. And apparently I've been inadvertently clicking it while I've been sitting here, and Kim's heard it in the background of this interview, and I apologize for that. I guess I was just mindlessly clicking it with my thumb while I was talking.
I was just staring at you, like, when is he going to see that I'm staring at him?
I'm going to throw it over there,
that he's
so
clicking
that
his pen.
If I'm not holding it, I can't make that mistake anymore.
You'll find something else to click.
That's true. Thank you. Last night I went out and saw our friend Richie, who is, of course, you see him on the he comments on the Facebook feed here. He watches us, listens all the time, works at Whiskey Dickerson. He's a fantastic musician, and he's got a little musical group with a lady called Pretty Weeds, and he plays acoustic, but he's a great guitarist. And we went out and listened to him a little bit last night at Salvatore's restaurant out in Harvester. And you hear the intro to my show is a Sammy Hagar song called I Don't Need Love. That's how he started out last time. He played that for me on his acoustic guitar. He goes, hey, it's the intro to the show.
That's
I thought
cool.
That was fantastic. Thank you, Richie, for doing that. And by the way, printed up this great T-shirt I've got on, which says St. Louis Conservative on it. I've been getting lots of compliments on it this morning. So thank you for that. It is currently a one-off. There are not more of these available. There might be. We're working on a T-shirt through Whiskey Dickerson or someone that that would portray the station's logo here. So if that happens, we will be sure and let you know. Hey, listen, I've been getting a lot of comments online and via text here and direct message regarding the interview. And hopefully more and more people are going to know about this, of the St. Louis City soccer fan who went to the game last Saturday, got booted out, not because he got drunk or fought anybody or anything like that, got booted out because he dared to wear a MAGA hat. And some, you know, lily-livered liberal complained about it. And the St. Louis City people came, said, either take the hat off, you have to leave. And he's like, no, I'm not taking the hat off. He'd been there before wearing the hat, no complaints. This time, the tolerant left complained, and they removed him from the game. Meanwhile, two sections over there, people waving pride flags. But that was okay. Supposedly, they have some rule against things that are political in nature or, let's see, what was the wording they used here? Displaying offensive language or other images. And St. Louis City kicked him out over it. We've got that. We did the interview this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. It's up on demand on the podcast. I've also put a link in the Facebook feed to the actual Instagram video. He recorded himself being removed. Very polite. Ask a few questions, cooperated, got booted out. He's been a ticket holder with St. Louis City for 3 years. Now, this happened. So this is Friday. This happened last Saturday. Where's the mainstream media coverage of it? Why is somebody not knocking on the door over there, the general manager of St. Louis City, and saying, hey, why'd you do this? Why'd this guy get kicked out? When there were people in No Kings shirts in the stadium, they got to stay. You know why? Because the conservative didn't complain about that. The liberals complained about the Make America Great Again hat. What? Why that triggers them so much, I have no idea, but clearly it does. So if you want to listen to that interview with Mike Weitzel, the gentleman that got kicked out of the game, go to the podcast in the 6 o'clock hour. That was at about 6:22 this morning. We appreciate him telling us his story. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Tom Sullivan. You know, he's the one who for years and years I've been covering as a reporter and as a radio host who questions governance. It's what he does. He goes to these meetings when nobody else goes. He looks at the agendas. He asks questions about spending. when he saw what was going on with St. Louis County, he complained to the attorney general, and they investigated, and now Sam Page is facing charges. So we're going to talk to Tom here at about 6:35, or I'm sorry, 8:35. I'm behind 2 hours. I don't know how that happened. So stick around for that, and we'll get our Queen of Hearts drawing up here in just a minute. But right now, we are going to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Thank you, sir. Hey. So that's what happens if you wear a Donald Trump hat to a St. Louis City soccer club game. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, that was Mike Weitzel. We had him on a bit earlier. And, you know, it was just a regular old Make America Great Again hat. Why would you not want to make America great again?
It is time to turn the corner of a society where automatic weapons are as easy to get as a cell phone.
How can somebody who's been a police chief and is now a mayor not know that you can't get an automatic weapon like you can walk in a store and buy a cell phone? One of the dumbest things I've heard Eric Adams ever say, and now he thinks he wants to be mayor again.
You said that Jeffrey Epstein stole people from Mar-a-Lago. At the time, did you know why he was taking those young women, including Virginia?
No, I didn't know. I mean, I would figure it was ABC fake news that would ask that question, one of the worst. But no, I don't know really why. But I said, if he's taking anybody from Mar-a-Lago, he's hiring or whatever he's doing. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I love these sick people who ask these questions and never look at the timeline and realize it was Donald Trump who was the first one that spotted a problem and banned Jeffrey Epstein from his properties long before he was ever charged with anything.
I think it is a mistake for us who want to figure out how to get out and through this and get out of it to put it on the shoulders of any one person. It's really on all of our shoulders. It really is.
No, Kamala, who spoke out yesterday on, hey, what show would you go on if you were Kamala Harris and looking to promote your book? Would you go on a show that's already been canceled?
Yeah, it's Stephen Colbert, the perfect option.
She goes on Colbert last night, right? She's pushing a book, right? That's the reason she's even back out in public. She's been inside with AI and a bottle of wine for 8 months, writing a book about her 107 days as a failed presidential candidate. And she's trying to blame it on everybody else. And Colbert's like, who's the leader of the Democratic Party? That was her answer.
Well, you know, we all have to figure out how to get through this. I assume this is Donald Trump, the Voldemort name that will not be mentioned, right?
She says, no, we shouldn't put all of that on the shoulders of just one person. We've all got to figure out how to get through this. And I'm thinking that is like the weakest answer. It's so typical of a Kamala Harris answer to anything, right? Like, remember when she does the word salad about she wants people to be aspirational, not inspirational. She doesn't want you to aspirate. She wants you to be aspirational. Listen.
Was we would have these events where people who I'm sure had never been under the same roof with the people who were standing next to them, all were under the same roof, seeing themselves in each other. As I like to say, it is aspirational, I think, but very real. Seeing in the face of a stranger, a neighbor. And I saw that throughout our country.
She's describing her rallies,
so,
right?
She clearly has, I mean, her word salad is just...
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. So Stephen Colbert at some point says to her, you warned everyone about the future under our president. You said he'd prosecute political enemies, cut Medicaid and Medicare, ignore court orders, alienate our allies, give massive tax cuts to the rich. I know you're not here to say I told you so, but would you like to? And she's like, well, I did predict a lot of that. Yeah.
You didn't have to predict it. It's what he told you he was going. He's doing what he campaigned on doing. Not word salad. He's doing what he campaigned on doing. She was asked direct questions. How would you fix the economy? She has no idea. No ideas at all.
What do you think this book...
Except to raise taxes.
What do you think this book, 107 Days, for her really short, I guess she calls it historic campaign,
well,
is going to include?
She needs money, number one, right? She's hoping it'll raise her profile somehow for a 2028 run, which is never going to happen.
Who is responsible for paying back all that money that she spent on that campaign? Because don't they still owe a ton of money?
I thought the Democratic Party was on the hook for
it. I thought the DNC would have to. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not Kamala who has to pay personally, but should she be held responsible in, I don't know,
well,
in any way?
Well, she should be held responsible for being one of the worst presidential candidates ever, right? She was an accidental vice president only because Biden didn't know what the hell he was doing and promised he was going to appoint somebody based on race and not credentials. And then she was an accidental presidential candidate or intentional on the part of the DNC who robbed their own voters of the ability to have a primary. She never should have been where she was. Mm-hmm. She didn't deserve to be there. She sure as hell didn't deserve to be president. And when she gets in a primary with 15 other people, she'll get the same 2% she got the first time she ran. Just mark my words on that. Coming up, we will get to our Queen of Hearts drawing and then talk to Tom Sullivan about what made him go to the Attorney General and start the process that has led to the current St. Louis County executive facing indictment.
Guns N' Hoses Queen of Hearts, benefiting the St. Louis Backstoppers.
All right, we've got another winner as we do every week, and our Queen of Hearts drawing for STL Guns N' Hoses. Go to STLGunsAndHoses.com, and you can sign up. You can buy cards, and then we pick one every Friday morning. They do at Guns N' Hoses, and they let us know who the winner is. They're $5 a piece. You can buy five, get one free. And you could win half of the jackpot, which is currently at about $3,600. So you walk away with half of it. The Guns N' Hoses people get half of it. That's kind of how these Queen of Hearts raffles work. There it is. Card is a 9 of spades from slot number 17. The winner's going to get $25. Congratulations. Thank you for participating. You know, if you get certain face cards, you might get $50 or $100, and if you draw the Queen of Hearts and that's your card in your slot, guess what? You get half of the jackpot. And that's already happened once this year. It happened really early on, and I know it's going to happen again. This is going to go on all the way through Guns N' Hoses, which is in November, and tickets went on sale today. August 1st is the day. So you go to stlgunsandhoses.com, and right at the top of the page there, tickets are available now. You can go on and you can reserve your tickets, and you can buy them, and we will see you there. We're going to play a much bigger role in all this year than we have in the past because we're the official radio station of St. Louis Guns N' Hoses. So best of luck to you, and thank you for participating. We will have more winners next week. That's good. You know, Kim, you asked a question earlier to Nate Burleson, or Nate Burleson.
I'm thinking, what?
Nate Burleson. He's the morning anchor at CBS because I go in there and watch him all the time. Eric Burleson, the congressman from the 7th Congressional District. And your question was about the information they found in these so-called burn bags.
Yeah.
And I thought Tulsi Gabbard's comments on what's going on here, kind of exposing all this, were helpful. But the person I think that really needs a pat on the back here is whoever set these burn bags aside. When something goes in a burn bag, there's a period of time in which it sits there and then it gets put in an incinerator and it's gone forever. So think about this. The information from this report, of course, the Durham report, happened, what, was that 2017 that we got that? Was it 2018? Anyway, it was 7 or 8 years ago. That information somehow got preserved, but it was in a burn bag, so clearly whoever put it in there with the intention of having it destroyed. And thank God somebody set it aside. I don't know who that patriot is. Kash Patel needs to track them down and find them and give them a Freedom of Honor award, right? Because what we know is, and we heard Chuck Grassley talking about this, somebody went in and found this bag, and it had, there's a suspicion, and this is speculation, but there's a suspicion that when the DOJ raided Mar-a-Lago, they did it because they were afraid Trump had taken the classified annex from the Durham report and had it stored at Mar-a-Lago somewhere so the Democrats couldn't destroy it when Joe Biden took over. There's a speculation that that's what drove Merrick Garland's decision to approve that raid at Mar-a-Lago. That's a big deal. You need to think at what's at stake here. People in the intelligence community are trying to circumvent the law. Listen to Grassley on this from yesterday.
I think it's evidence of the great depth that the deep state will go to cover up weaponization that was going on in the FBI and the executive branch of government generally under the Obama administration. And I want to thank Kash Patel of the FBI and Pam Bondi, our attorney general, for releasing these documents, because after 8 years, and it took us 3 years to get this information, but after 8 years, I think we need maximum transparency on all the schemes that were going on 10 years ago.
Yeah, that was Grassley yesterday talking about the Durham appendix and what they're expected to find here. In case you haven't read it for some reason, you need to understand that there were emails that they found between the campaign, the Hillary Clinton campaign, and the folks in the intelligence community, basically suggesting that we need to create this Russia Trump connection to distract from Hillary's email problem. This was during the campaign. And of course, the Obama people didn't want Donald Trump to get elected. So, and a lot of the people in the intelligence community didn't want Donald Trump to get elected. And why do you think that is? Because they knew they couldn't control him. And once you're president, you have complete immunity is not the word I'm looking for. You have complete access to all of these top secret documents that they were trying to hide. So I'm just convinced that we're going to see something out of all of this. They just keep coming out with more and more receipts. And I'm very excited about that, I got to tell you. Coming up, Tom Sullivan. He's the local guy who first complained about Sam Page and the spending on that flyer he sent out on Prop B that got him indicted. We'll be back in a minute. So hopefully you heard our interview earlier this week with Dennis Hancock yesterday, of course. He's a county council member running for county executive. He will officially kick off his candidacy coming up on August 11th, I think. But, you know, he's on county council. Shalonda Webb, a lot of these, Gretchen Bangert, the others who are on council, are concerned over allegations now, indictment actually, against the county executive, Sam Page, because a lot of people warned him about this when it was going on, that he sent this flyer out, that public money was used for it. There's a pretty clear law in Missouri that says you can't do that. And my friend Tom Sullivan, who we've had on the show a number of times, is joining us again this morning. And Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. Nice to be with you.
Good to have you on. Congratulations here, I think, is due, because you are the one who brought this to the attention of the Attorney General, correct?
Yeah, originally it goes to the Secretary of State, and then the Secretary of State decides whether your complaint has any validity, and if they determine that it does, then they send it to the prosecuting attorney. In this case, the new prosecuting attorney, Melissa Price-Smith, decided she had conflict, so she kicked it over to the Attorney General, and the Attorney General's office has been handling it.
Yeah, well, I mean, thank you for doing that. You've been following the money for a long time, for many years. In this particular case, it's not a huge sum of money, but that's not really the point here, is it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in the scheme of things, $35,000-$40,000 isn't a lot. I suppose what's surprising about this is that it's just so brazen. I mean, they put right on the postcards they sent out, paid for by St. Louis County, Sam Page, county executive. So you got to give them a few points for honesty.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I've talked a little bit with Dennis Hancock about about what the illegality here is, but isn't it just pretty clear that you can't spend any public money on something like this, correct?
That's correct. It's you cannot spend public money in order to support or oppose a ballot issue or a candidate. But the very same part of the law makes it, you know, says that any public official also has the right to speak on any of these proposals and also has the right to issue press releases. So the idea that some of the opponents of this law try to say, oh, it's gagging public official and it's violating their First Amendment rights, it just isn't the case.
Are you surprised this actually ended with an indictment? Because to me, there's been so much corruption under Sam Page's leadership, and there have been so many instances where I feel like he should have been indicted for something and he wasn't. Like I said, are you surprised that this one actually ended the way that it did?
I think shocked would be more accurate. I mean, most of the time when I've involved in some of these complaints, almost the most you can hope for is to get a small fine, or they'll have a consent decree saying, yeah, we shouldn't have done it, and we're not going to do it again, and that's it. You know, most of the time they get almost no publicity. So to say that this is a change in policy is quite an understatement. Here we have the highway patrol showing up at the county government center on Monday and going up to Sam Page's office and demanding that he turn over his phone. And then on Wednesday, we have the indictment. So certainly a change in how things are handled.
It makes you wonder what happens next. Part of this crime would result in a felony offense, which of course would force him to resign as county executive. But if he's not found guilty on the more serious of those crimes, he might stay in office after this.
Oh, that's true. There's four counts on the indictment. Two of them relate to election offenses and they're misdemeanors. And then two of them are related to actually he's charged with stealing money, and those are felonies. If he is found guilty of a felony, he has to forfeit his office. And for the most part, his political career is over. I suspect that they're going to reach some sort of a deal on this, but that remains to be seen.
Boy, I hope not. I got to tell you, I hope there's not some sort of plea bargain here, unless it includes him stepping down. Now, unlike most of us, you're doing okay if stepping back means you have to go back and be a anesthesiologist making $600,000 a year, right? I mean, he's got options for sure. I wonder if that plays into this at all. I don't know. So you think there's going to be a plea deal?
I would say there's a good chance of that because if it goes to trial, it's a risk on both sides. Sam Page has a risk that he's found guilty of a felony, and the Attorney General's office takes the risk that Sam Page is acquitted of everything. So the whole idea of taking a deal is that everybody gets kind of a half a loaf, and that's the reasoning behind that.
Yeah.
So it'd be a fine then.
Oh, that would be up to the court. It could very well be fined, and he would still stay in office.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tom Sullivan is our guest. He's the one who originally, I guess, filed the complaint with the Secretary of State's office, which deemed it an offense and forwarded it over to the Attorney General's office, which resulted in a grand jury and an indictment. And now we'll see what happens next. What else are you keeping an eye on these days, Tom? Because I know you're always you and I worked together for years investigating what they're doing at MSD.
Yeah, well, probably one of the biggest things coming up these days is on Monday we're going to have the state audit findings released for the prosecuting attorneys, meaning Wesley Bell. And Wesley Bell is a guy who liked to spend money, and he was fast and loose with all kinds of rules and regulations. So people are looking forward to that particular release by the state auditor.
Yeah. I don't think we ever got to the whole truth on the Kim Gardner situation. I mean, quite frankly, the fact that she never got charged with anything other than just leaving office is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's the way they do it lots of times. If you agree to step down, they pretty much leave you alone, but at the same time, the public doesn't really know the whole story.
Yeah, very true. Well, I tell you, Tom Sullivan, good work on this one. We appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thanks, Mark. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to get him on here this morning and just to find out more about how that whole thing went down. Yeah, it wasn't a prosecutor who did it. It was a citizen who brought this complaint.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
I think he makes a good point about there being risk if it actually goes to trial. I assume that Tom would be called to testify as a witness to all of this if that were to happen. But he's probably right. It probably will be a plea deal because Sam Page, it seems as though there is quite a bit of evidence to point to the fact that he was in violation and that he could be convicted. And he certainly doesn't want that. But it will bother me if this ends up being some stupid fine. And it's just not enough.
Like,
I feel like
DWI, they plea down to, you know, failure to signal or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something that just is not even close to what actually happened. And I'm just so tired of Sam Page getting away with this stuff. Like, I think back to COVID and how many times I feel like he should have been indicted for that. And how he's shutting down all the businesses, and then he has the audacity to go to St. Charles County and try to eat out at restaurants. Do you remember that?
Sure.
That should have been an indictment. I mean, I don't know what they would indict him over for that, but the guy just needs to go. He's so corrupt. He's so, you know, rules for thee and not for me, as I've been saying this morning.
Maybe that happened. Maybe that's the result of this, is if they don't want to go to trial, just step away and we'll find you guilty, you know, we'll pay a fine and move on.
I'd be fine with that. If you resign and pay a fine, that's the plea deal, just a fine.
The question is, what happens then? That's the question we need to ask. Maybe Dennis Hancock knows the answer to that. I should have asked him yesterday. I don't want to make him speculate on Page's resignation, but if he resigned, would they hold a special election this close to, I assume they would. They'd probably have to have somebody in that position.
Have to have a leader. Yeah.
Yeah. So it might result in a special election, which means even more money, for sure. All right, coming up, hey, nice event coming up on August 10th over in St. Charles. Should be a lot of fun. We're going to give you more details on it when we come back. All right, welcome back. You know, boy, some great weather today. I was already lamenting earlier that we didn't get weather like today on Monday when I was golfing out in St. Charles County and I was melting at 100 degrees. And today it was almost chilly when I walked out there. My wife would have needed a coat. Just put it that way. When I left for work this morning before 4 a.m., it was almost cool. What a relief. What a change. And it's August 1st, so maybe the whole month will be like this. Kim, what do you think?
Well, that'd be really nice. I'm not going to hold my breath on that, it'd be great.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on that either, for sure. Of course, it is August, and there's still lots of great stuff going on around the area, including coming up on August 10th. So 9 days from now, which is on a Sunday, you're going to have an opportunity to go out to the St. Charles, to the city. The St. Charles Jewish Festival is going to be taking place out there. And we have Rabbi Chaim Landa on with us this morning to talk a little bit more about the annual Jewish Festival. Rabbi, welcome in, sir. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing wonderful. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm hoping, I'll say a prayer for you, that it's in the 70s on August 10th. How about that?
And I will say amen.
Yeah, no kidding. You never know what you're going to get this time of year, but give us an idea of what this festival is all about and how long have you been doing this?
Yeah, so this is going to be our fifth year.
Okay.
It's going to be the fifth annual St. Charles Jewish Festival, and it's really about just spreading joy and positivity and allowing people to come together and celebrate Jewish life and culture, which is a big deal.
Like last year, you guys drew, 3,800 people, and it sounds like this could be even bigger crowd, and I'd have to imagine, I mean, you hate to even bring this up, but you have to imagine that since October 7th, there would be more people wanting to come out and show their support.
100%, and we've seen this over the past couple of years, really from the beginning. It's just been growing year after year, and it's really snowballed. I think people are really looking for an opportunity to rally around the Jewish community. To share support. And I think that the Jewish community themselves just want to lean in. We've really been seeing this Jewish awakening post October 7th. You know, people who didn't have a mezuzah on their door or didn't feel comfortable being openly and publicly Jewish, they just want to do it. And I think that that's what happens when people spread hate. Our answer is positivity, joy, love, and that's really what this festival is all about.
Well, Rabbi, I don't know how you feel about it. My impression is that that there's been a turn in this country in recent months against that tide of anti-Semitism that we had seen among our institutions, acknowledging that this has been going on and trying to take steps to stop it. What's your impression of that?
Yeah, there's been a great deal of that. Personally, I'm out here in St. Charles. I walk the streets. I'm in the grocery stores. You know, I'm meeting people all the time, and strangers come over to me and they just want to let me know that they support us, that they support the Jewish community, and that they want to see a vibrant, you know, Jewish community. And more than anything, I think it's touching that those moments when people say, you know, I care. And that really is what this festival is about. I think it's about giving expression in a fun, joyful way to allow people to really express support of the Jewish community, support of our diversity. And it's just wonderful when people can come together, eat great food. And by the way, some people come just for the food.
Yeah. I
enjoy
bet.
The family entertainment. It's these types of events, moments have become increasingly important. And it sounds somewhat counterintuitive, but this is the best response to hate, is to just come together with love.
Yeah. We've got Rabbi Chaim Landa with us this morning. I see on here that you're going to have like an open air market and a lot of stuff like that, live music going on. And just to remind people, this is going to be August 10th from 11 to 2:30 out there by the Lewis and Clark Boathouse, parking there just off Main Street in downtown St. Charles. So kind of tell people what to expect with the market and all that.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're going to have we call it the Shuk experience, and it's an opportunity. It's modeled after the Shuk, these open ear marketplaces that you'll see all over Israel, and you can buy anything. There'll be all different types of candies. There'll be Judaica, fruits, you know, all different types of produce. It's really in the Shuk. You can get anything. And the idea is to bring that experience here in St. Charles, here in St. Louis, and just allow people to experience something new. There's also going to be cultural crafts with pickle making. There's going to be a petting zoo, a lot of family-friendly activities. And, of course, the live Jewish music, delicious kosher food. We're actually bringing in a caterer from Chicago. I think this is the third year that we're doing that. It's a real hit. Just
good.
You know, from falafel to shawarma, all of those amazing tastes.
So August 10th, I hope people can show up for this. They can get tickets. The tickets are free, right? But you can get tickets at jewishstcharles.org/festival. And that's probably the best place to go to get those. We can put a link up on our website. Rabbi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too, sir. Thank you. We appreciate that. So something for you to look forward to there coming up here in the month of August. August 1st, man. Time is this. I can't believe July's over with already.
Just focused on the fact that, like, oh my gosh, this is my like birth, like my due date month.
I know.
That's the first thing. And my son's also 2.5 today. There's just a lot of things happening.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
really?
Little Easton's officially 2.5.
Oh, happy half birthday to Easton. That's awesome. All right, that's going to do it for us. I will be taking a little bit of time off next week. Kim's going to be in here. Ryan Recker is going to be helping us out as well. I always appreciate him stepping in. And awesome. Have a great weekend. Enjoy that weather. And we'll get Brian Kilmeade in here next to Annie and Mark, the Mark Reardon Show this afternoon. And Kim will see you back here and Ethan on Monday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.